RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Well, continuing the community gems, and as listeners know, we've had a wide range of individuals and charities, and today's is going to be no different. I am very, very pleased to introduce you to what is known as Guardians of Our Children, and I have Frank Hicks and Tina Molinai joining me this morning. So welcome to you both.
Simon, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I will admit right from the start, I am not completely up to speed beyond obviously looking on your website about Guardians of Our Children. So I'm going to throw it straight over to you. Give us and the listeners a bit of a sense of what you are and what you do.
Okay, I'll do that one. The Tina and I went through the family court back in 2014, 2015. We didn't know at the time that there was the major law reforms with regard to family courts at the time. And it was a bit of a nightmare for everybody involved. And what I found when we finished ours in late 2015, I was able to look back on that and realize what an absolute shambles. I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe how a multi-million dollar entity could be so inefficient. But I didn't really appreciate the changes that were being made at the time. So Mum and I got together and we decided to create a workshop for those who were going through family court, whether they had a lawyer or they were self-litigating. And that started at my place in Otahuhu in 2016, late 2015, early 2016. And that kind of grew from there, and it became a charitable trust, Guardians of Our Children, in 2018. And now we run the workshops all over the place. And it's been going really, really well. I mean, it needed to be there. It was created because there was a huge knowledge gap between the professionals within the family court process and the parents who were just coming into it. So that's what we did. That's why it's there.
I'm assuming there's no shortage of need. I was saying to you off air, I'm no expert in this space, but in my previous career, a number of people came to my office to talk about problems with the family court. And it seemed to me that two of the big issues were, one, not sort of knowing parts of the process, not knowing the right questions to ask. And the other was just inordinate delays. It just goes on and on and on. So are you working into both spaces there in terms of obviously educating people of how to navigate the system, but also assisting, not so much speeding up the process, but managing the frustrations of what I suspect is still a slow, cumbersome system?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the not knowing. That's the most frightening thing, because especially when you're arguing over the children, and you've been served with a protection order, as I was, because the first question that pops into your mind is, "Am I ever going to see the children again? I mean, how does this work? Is that it? Is that it for me?" And so, everything we do with Guardians of the Children is all about community education, and it's free. It's always been free for parents who have going through the process, and we have a number of different education programs now, and we have a lot of lawyers and other industry professionals who help us with this, and we put it out there just to explain to people the process, but not just the process of the family court process, but all the other aspects of it, the parenting. Being able to understand it, trying to change the energy, the emotions, trying to understand where you sit in all the process, and we go through it all with graphs, with tables, with diagrams, so people can see it. They will have a visual reference of where they're at, and they can see where they need to be, and they'll know what they need to do to get to those different stages. Once they see all of that, it changes a lot of things. Gives them genuine hope, because our whole thing is not about winning in court. It's like that. It's not about winning in court. It's not about winning in court at all costs, which is what usually happens. And at all costs, meaning that it comes at a heavy cost to your relationship with your children, the other parent, your family members, friends, work colleagues. It comes at a major, major cost. And to win at all costs, ours is all about achieving a higher objective outside of the courts. So you're using the court process as flawed as it may be, to try and catapult you to that high objective of high level of co-parenting, which is what Tina and I have been doing for a long, long time now.
I noted you're both down as facilitators, so you're clearly running these programs. And touch a little bit on that co-parenting side, because I think most listeners will probably intuitively understand that you'll be able to guide people or give them guidance around the legal side of things. But you were just hinting there that it is this co-parenting. You're trying to find out a way that's, my phrasing here, guys, a win for the children, but for both parents, rather than trying to turn this into a binary choice. So are you running these programs to try and, is it sort of healing in a way? I'm trying to find the right word.
Yeah, there is a lot of healing involved. And like you've just alluded to, we do run a number of programs outside of the seminars that we run. We try to run the seminars at least once a month. We have also our 10W program, which is the weekly women's group that I facilitate on a Monday night. So it's a drop-in service that people can drop in and ask for any assistance on things. We have a men's group much in the same kind of setup as well, run every Wednesday, which is highly regarded. And just, yeah, getting people, I guess the biggest thing that we discovered afterward, because we've been through this process on opposite sides of the fence, having children together, that we, what am I trying to say, that they, that you want to get to that high level of co-parenting as soon as you can. If we'd done things differently, the first thing we would have done was to have got a really structured parenting order in place as soon as we separated. And then you've got the foundation that your children are going to be good, whatever is going on amongst the parents.
Are you finding the courts responding to this? So as you are, if you will, informing, educating, healing, helping, as people move towards that co-parenting, and if you will, seeing the good not only for themselves, their partner, their children, are the courts responding to this? Do the judges see the value in what is being done?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We get a lot of good feedback from the courts, from people within the courts, on what we do. It's very different. I spoke to a judge wee while back, and she was completely blown away by what we do, and she was very appreciative of the fact that we let her know, because the courts never hear about the success stories. They only hear the negatives. We only ever hear the negatives. But we've been involved now with a lot of people who have been successful, because we've redefined success in family court, not to win in court, but to achieve a high level of co-parenting post-court. And you're using the court process to do that. Not just the court process, but all of the peripheral services that comes with it. The counselling, the community law centres, the social workers, the kaiarahis, which is a new role from the family court. They send people out from the family court to the community to help. And they'll explain to the community what provide a bit more context, and we take it to a whole new level. So we try and connect them and provide context for the people who are going through it, because as I was saying before, it's the unknown that's really, really scary. Mm-hmm. And when we lay it all out with diagrams, with tables, with everything there, with lawyers there that they can question at the seminars, and the kaiarahis and other industry professionals, it's all there for them, and it makes it so much easier. And they realise that everything's going to be okay. They can have faith in the process, and everything will turn out all right.
So in many ways, says me, you're demystifying the process, because it must be quite daunting, in all senses of that word. I know too that you've had the Impact Lab do some research into your work, and incredibly good news in terms of the return that you achieve, not only for these families, but for society as a whole.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, because at the time, the Impact Lab report was, they measured that over the three programs that we had at the time, and those three programs was all during the COVID lockdowns and the COVID restrictions straight after. So we were very, very, very limited, as was everyone else, on the work that they were able to do. And we were still able to achieve a social return on investment of about $5.20 for every dollar donated. Hopefully we'd be able to have another one soon and see what it was like, because now we've got about 10 programs as opposed to three. And obviously we're in a totally different environment now. So we're out there almost all day, every day. It's pretty intense work that we do. And as I say, we don't charge any of the parents who are coming through this. It's something that we're very, very particular about, because the financial component is quite often be the straw that breaks the camel's back. So we factor it out completely.
Gosh,
And
I
we're
hadn't
really,
fully appreciated that. Sorry, Tina, go for it.
no, I was just going to say, and we're really lucky to have some generous donors that continually back us up and believe in what we're doing to be able to aid us to do what we do. And yeah, we just keep going, whether we're funded or not funded, it's something that needs to be done.
Yeah, I mean, because the big point of difference with what we do, and is that there's nothing else like this, in not just in the country, but in the world, where both parents who went through family court together now work for the trust that was set up to do exactly this, and their children, because our children are teenagers now, and they work for the trust part time. So we got two children. There's all and so all four of us are involved in it in some ways. And I just, we just wish there was something like this when we were going through it. It would have saved us a whole lot of heartbreak.
Well, the very fact of what you've just shared from your own respective experiences and your kids is illustrative of just how successful this is. You'll have to syndicate it, so to speak, and sell it to other countries around the world. But that's a good segue, though. If people want to access your help and support and services, or people want to donate because you are a registered charity, how do people get in touch with you?
So we have our website, which you'll display on the page, but it's quite simple. It's goc.org.nz. We're on Facebook under the same, but GOOCNZ if you're looking for us. We're also on LinkedIn under the same tagline. We have all of our registrations are all online. You can email, you can. Or we have all sorts of services out there, but the main point, the main place to look is on our website, where we keep everything up to date.
And I'd certainly recommend people jump onto their website. It's very comprehensive. Tina, Frank, look, first and foremost, thank you for sharing a little bit about your own experience, but then more importantly, of what you do at Guardians of Our Children. And just thank you for that service, that care that's needed. And thanks for joining the show today.
Thank you, Simon.
Yeah, thank you for
thank
the
you.
Opportunity.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.